I've been here 31 years, and I don't know exactly when this was, but been a few days ago, and, you know, we talked, of course, man, you just got to be careful what you ask kids sometimes, don't you? But we asked some of the kids, and they were talking about, you know, who was the boss at home, and Ryan Castile said, my mama. And we're looking around. Ryan, what makes you say that? He said, because she does the dishes. Amen. So, fellas, y'all do the dishes, you get to be the boss at home, I guess, is the way that that runs. But you'll learn something from those kids every time. Amen. All right. Well, take your Bibles with me this morning, if you would, please. Look with me in the book of John, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 2. John chapter number 2. And we're going to read just a few verses at the beginning of it. Now, I mean, it's always a good thing to read your Bible. And, you know, if you're going to read, I encourage people, if they're new Christians or sometimes just need a little refreshing on some things, it's always good to read the book of Romans and the book of Gospel of John. If you'll read those two, it gives you a lot of insight about Jesus and who he is and what he's done for us and all that. But today, I want you to look at chapter number 2 in this gospel and begin reading with me, if you will, verse number 1. The Bible said, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were there set 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the wine that was, or the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine unto now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Bless our word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this morning. Thank you again for loving us here today and blessing us with this good time. I pray now, Lord, you just be a blessing in everything that is said, everything that is done here this morning. I pray you get honor and glory out of it. And if there's somebody here that needs salvation, would you please speak to their heart and show them that you are the Christ, the Redeemer, the one that's able and willing and ready to save them. And we pray we just give you glory this morning for everything that is done. We'll worship you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning about a mama who knew some things. A mama who knew some things. I think today that my desire for all of you ladies would be this. I want you to have a good day. I want you to enjoy your family. I pray you get some gifts and some good food and, you know, whatever you can get out of the day from your family. But I pray that today, more than anything, that there will be some things out of the Word of God that every mama knows. Some things that God wants you to know, and some things that the Lord will show you. And I believe when we get in His Word and we study, you can see there are some things that God wants you to know. I'm glad. Now, when you're looking at this story, this is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I'm telling you, if anybody knew some things about the Lord Himself, I believe that it's her. You remember listening in the story in the beginning in Luke chapter number 2, after all the things that are told to her in Luke 1, where the angel comes and reveals those things to her, who she's going to be and how she's going to bear the Christ child, and how that she is just overtaken with joy and thrilled to do that. And then after his birth, how the different ones come. And all she does, you see a lot through those first little bits of the Gospel of Luke, and probably in some other parts of the Bible too, where she just sits and she wanders and she ponders about what all of these things mean. Well, I'm telling you today, folks, ladies and men, we need to ponder about these things and see what we can learn and how that will help us to know that we can be the kind of Christian that God is looking for. I want you to know this first of all. Notice with this, the Bible tells us here that there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. It said, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. First of all, I want you to realize this. This mama knew that the presence of Jesus is needed in everyday life. Can I tell you, we need Jesus and his presence in everything that we do. I mean, that the idea through the scripture here is this, that this was probably a family member in some way related to Jesus. This person, whoever was having the wedding, we don't know if it's a brother, we don't know if it was a sister, we don't know if it was a cousin, we don't know who it is, or maybe some other extended family, or somebody they were just very good friends with, but we do know that somehow Mary was involved with it. She had some kind of intimate connection with this, because it tells us that she is there, and then she's the one that says they've run out of wine. I mean, when you get into that idea, you know that she's got some connection to it, but through every bit of that, whether she knew what was going to happen or if anything was going to happen, she knew that she wanted the presence of Jesus to be there that day. Can I tell you, every day that you and I live, we need to have the presence of the precious Lord Jesus with us. Amen. I mean, whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, if it's work, if it's home, if it's in your community, wherever it is, you need the presence of the blessed Lord. Amen. I want you to notice the circumstances of this whole little situation. As I said, it's a wedding. It's a wedding. A wedding is a festive time. It's a real exciting time. It's a, you know, a joyous occasion. And usually in those days, it was a multiple day affair. It wasn't just like we do, you know, for a few hours. I've told people a lot of times, I said, man, the quickest thing that ever happened in your life is getting married. Amen. I mean, you ask any of these ladies here in the service and they'll tell you they spent months and months and months planning for something that sometimes doesn't take any more than 15 or 20 minutes to do. Amen? And then you're on the hook for a long time after that, girls. Amen. Let me just tell you that too. But that's what it's all about. It doesn't take very long to get married. But in those days, they just kept celebrating and celebrating. Sometimes it went on for up to a solid week. I mean, they just made a festive, joyous occasion out of it. And as they were celebrating, the groom and his family were there to provide everything for the whole crowd that was involved in the celebration, whoever it was. So here they are, and Jesus and his disciples are invited. His mother Mary is there. And as I said, it seems that she has something to do with all of the doings that's going on. But if you'll notice, even in this circumstance, you see, as things are going on, hey, you see that they do give a call to Jesus to come and join. I like that. It said, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. I'm telling you, whatever you do, you need to get ready to call Jesus in on whatever it is that you're doing. You're doing a job, you need Jesus on the job. You're going to school, you need Jesus at school. You're living in your community, you need Jesus in your neighborhood. You need Jesus for everything that you do. Amen. Some old guy was joking around, and one fellow said, you know what? Hey, you need Jesus to go to heaven. Another fellow looked at him and said, mister, you need Jesus to go to Walmart. Amen? I'm telling you, that's exactly the way that it is today. You need Jesus in every aspect of your life. We need, and thank God, the best thing you can do is what they did here. It said, and Jesus was called. Aren't you glad he answers the call? I mean, you see that the circumstance was that it was a wedding. And you notice that the call came. And thank God, aren't you glad, as I said, that he came. He came and answered the call. He is there at this wedding. And it said, and when they wanted wine, hey, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Now, I want you to understand, there, as I say, this is a festive and a celebratory time, and here they are with all of this carrying on and dancing and probably singing and whatever all they're doing, enjoying the wine. And all of a sudden, somebody realizes that they're out of the wine. Now, you know, we get into discussion of that, and my belief is that this is not an alcoholic, drunken kind of thing. I'm not believing that. I believe it's a watered version of grape juice, okay? We can discuss that if you want to sometime, whatever. But that they're out of something that are given to the guests to help them in the festivities. Wine in your Bible speaks of joy. Wine speaks of the newness and the goodness of God. That's some of the things that wine represents. Can I tell you, hey, this right here can be a representation of some people sometime that they just don't have any joy in their lives, right? Isn't that a sad time when you don't have anything? But I can tell you what you can do to get over it. The same thing they did. Call Jesus and he will come and he'll restore what you need into your life. Amen. But here they are, as I say, you see the circumstances. This mama, she knew that they needed the presence of Jesus in the things of everyday life. I'm telling you, you need the presence of Jesus. But not only that, I'll tell you this second of all. This mama knew to bring the problems of everyday life to Jesus. Can I tell you, mamas, you're going to face some things even when your kids are little, and it's going to seem like a problem and a burden and a great big thing. But the best thing you can do is bring those problems to Jesus. You need to bring these problems of your everyday life to Christ. You know what most of us do? Well, we'll figure it out. We'll work through it. We'll push through it. We'll get through it. And I guarantee you, hey, you may be able to do those things, but you'll do it a lot better if you'll just bring your problem to the Lord. Amen? Don't we sing that song every once in a while? We sing about to bring your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. I mean, we're supposed to be able to come and cast, as Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I'm glad that I have a Savior that cares about me in the everyday things of my life. Amen? I know I've had people come up and tell me and they say, now, preacher, you may think this is funny, but I went to, you know, maybe to a doctor visit or something like that, and I couldn't walk very well, and I was hunting a parking place near the door, and I had to drive around, and I just pulled off, and I just prayed and said, God, will you open up? And God just opened up, let somebody leave, and a space opened up, and they got in there, and they were just praising God. I said, hey, I believe that, amen. I believe in praying and seeking God and just giving him glory in every little aspect of our life. Bring the problems of your life to Jesus. Bring your problem. You got them. Every one of us have got them. I mean, you know, first of all, I want you to realize we got to just tell him that we do have a need. You tell him. The Bible said, here's Mary. It said, when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Now, does that sound like that's his problem? It's almost as if that's the way Jesus answers her when he talks back to her. Now, I want you to understand, this is not as rude as it may sound to me and you. He says to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? You know, he said, my time's not yet come. Well, the idea behind this is this is not what Jesus came to do. But can I tell you, he did come to take care of those little instances in our lives as he did in this. Because you know what he did? You see that he did, by his miraculous power, work exactly what Mary needed for him to do in her life. Amen. Can I tell you, he'll do the same thing for you today. He'll do the same thing for you. They had the situation was they had no wine. I don't tell you what that would be. That would be an embarrassing situation. You ever been to a place where you had maybe a family get together or a group get together of some kind, and you run out of food or you run out of, you know, whatever you all were having for snacks or whatever it was, you ran out? Isn't that kind of embarrassing? Well, could you imagine? Here they are enjoying the festive celebration of somebody's marriage, and they've run out of wine. They've run out. Oh, let me tell you. Hey, it was an embarrassing thing for the family. It was an embarrassing thing for the groom. It was something of a social awkward place that they were in, and they needed some help. And you know, Mary's back here. Maybe that's her job. Maybe she's the one supplying that or taking care of that. Whatever it is, we've run out. We've run out. Now, if you'll notice, the Bible talks about how that there are the pots that they use, and it says that these pots, in verse number 6, contain 2 or 3 firkins apiece. These are some pots that were used in ceremonial washing for all of the priests and the Jews. Whenever they did something and they were unclean, they had to go wash their hands. They did a lot of washing because there was a lot of things that were considered unclean. So they go and wash their hands. There were some of these pots that were just sitting there in that area. Each one of them, according to historians, they say they held between 20 and 30 gallons of liquid apiece. Each one of them had 20 or 30. And here they were. And I want to tell you something about these pots. These pots were empty pots. They were just sitting there, and they had been previously used, but now they were sitting there empty. Does that not sound like a person, a life that you and I could identify with? Here's somebody, and they're plumb empty. Aren't you glad? Thank God that Jesus can fill you up, and He can change even what went in, and He can make it something that is a whole lot better than it started out to be. Amen? Right. Amen? If you'll just give it to Him. So here's Mary. And you know what she did? She told Jesus, said, look, we've got a problem. We've got a problem. I'm encouraging you today to tell Jesus your problems. I'm telling you today, as I said, Peter said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Jesus wants you to bring Him your problem. Whatever it may be. I'm telling you, you bring it to the Lord. If you remember when Hezekiah was king and Sennacherib was getting ready to invade the city, and he sent a letter to the king, and he was mocking the king and the king's people, and he said, we're going to give you an opportunity. If you'll just give up, we'll spare your lives. And, you know, he told him, if you don't, we're going to come in there and slaughter y'all. And I want you to know that king, Hezekiah, took those papers. He laid them out on the altar before the Lord, and he began to cry and weep and said, God, you see what problem we're in. You see what's going to happen. You see the threatening of our enemy. We've got to do something. And God gave a great victory to the people of Israel that day. What are you saying? I'm saying it doesn't matter what kind of problem you got. You need to come and tell Jesus. You need to bring Him your problems. As I say, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. You're supposed to bring them to Him. I'm telling you, when you come in obedience to Him, hey, things will be different. Listen to what it says. Here it is. Jesus says, look, He says, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. But His mother saith to the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. I want you to know this. You need to trust that He can do whatever it is that's needed. You got to trust that He can do whatever is needed. He can do it. Here they are in this situation of need. And Mary says, we don't have any wine. And Jesus somewhat, as I say, maybe a mild or a gentle rebuke to her. But she just looks at those servants that are there and says, whatever He says do, do it. You just do it. Brother, can I tell you that you and I have that same scriptural authority, as I say, to bring our burdens and our problems to the Lord and ask the Lord to take care of the need. And thank God, I'm glad to report to you, He is still able to do that today. I don't care what it is. I don't care who it is. I don't care when it is. I don't care where it is. He can still meet the need. And He says, look, she says, look, whatever He says, you just bring. And boy, aren't you glad there's some folks that can be obedient, There are some folks that can be obedient. Listen, she says, whatever he says, you do it. Can I tell you, whatever the Lord says to you today, just do it. Amen? Just do it. If you'll just follow him, we'll see a whole lot better results down at Old Bethel Baptist Church and in the community of Chickamauga and in this whole area if you and I would simply do what the Lord says to do. Now, look, to me, to look at this situation, and you see what he does, it says that, she says, whatever he says, do it. And as I say, there were six water pots there. Each one of them contained two or three firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. Fill those water pots with water. I'm telling you, you've got to listen, and you've got to be obedient. And listen, and they filled them up to the brim. As full as they could get them, they filled them up. Do you know why the Lord had them do that? When they got those water pots full, nothing else could go in them, right? Nothing else could go in them. He was just making sure they understood this wasn't some hocus pocus. This wasn't some magic. This wasn't something he had in his pocket and he put it. I mean, there was no way they could mistake what was about to happen. Fill those pots all the way to the brim. And those men obeyed him. Thank God for that. Amen. Hey, can I tell you, just thinking about those water pots, though, we need to be like them. We need to be completely empty of ourselves to start with and let him fill them up with what he wants to. You need to get rid of you. You need to get rid of your thoughts. You need to get rid of your way. You need to listen to him and let him fill you up. And when he does, he will change what you're filled with into something that brings glory and honor to his very name. Amen. I'm glad he's able to do that today. But you've got to be obedient to him. Obedient. Let me just tell you. You need to be obedient and to be blessed. You need to be observant, to be blessed. You need to be in just about obscurity. Don't worry about that anybody sees you. Don't worry about anybody knows who you are. Hey, when this is all over, do you know those servants are the only one that knew where all of this came from? And the governor of the feast, he had no idea. He had no doubt. Hey, as a matter of fact, you see what he said later on. Everybody gives the best stuff first and save the worst for last. He said, but you've kept the best stuff till the end. You know why? Because it came from Jesus. Amen? Amen? It came from Jesus, and it's going to be the best. But I'm just telling you, look, you need to just trust him that he can do whatever is needed. And as a matter of fact, you and I need to realize this. You need to turn every bit of it over to him. Just do what he says. Turn everything you've got and give it over to the Lord. Your entire life, your entire ways, your entire being, you're supposed to do. You know what Paul said? Paul said it this way, Romans 12:1. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. He said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? What I'm telling you is you need to just give it all to him. Turn it all over to him. Tell him, Lord, I'm tired of carrying this. I'm tired of worrying with this. I'm tired of just having to try to take care of that. I can't do it by myself. What were they going to do without the Lord? It would have been an embarrassing situation. It would have turned out way different. It would have been a blight on that family or a bad name or word toward. But thank God, aren't you glad Jesus stepped in and took care of the situation? Amen. He's able to step in and take care of whatever your situation is today. He's able to take care of that. Now, don't you notice one other thing? That this mama knew that he could produce the desired outcome of any problem in your everyday life. Jesus could produce something. Can I tell you this? Expect something when you come and bring it to the Lord. I expect him to do something, don't you? I believe you ought to come in this church house expecting God to do something. Now, I'll guarantee you this. I don't know what it is every time. But I come in and I'm expecting the Lord to do some great things. When I come into this place, I'm expecting to hear some songs that brag on Him. I'm expecting to hear some testimony. I'm expecting to hear something from the Word of God. I'm expecting to have something that is just absolutely gonna be more than I expected. Really? I'm looking for more than that. Do you realize what Jesus did? If you'll think about this, here are these water pots, and they are, as it explains to us, they are the ceremonial water pots for the washing of the Jews. Can you see this? Jesus takes the old idea of the law, and He's about to make some changes. He's about to show them the old economy, the Old Testament idea, the things under the ceremony of the law are now going to be changed. And they're going to bring some joy and some gladness and some good stuff into the hearts of people. Amen? Can I tell you, He's able to produce something in every one of our lives. Oh, there's people today, I'm telling you, and you've seen a lot of it this week, there are people that are eat up with religion this week. Amen. I mean, they're eat up with religion. But aren't you glad that God still gives some good old-fashioned Holy Ghost salvation? Amen? I mean, it's not in rites and rituals and ways and doings. Thank God it's because of what He's done for me. Amen. I'm thankful for what Jesus has done. Listen, He took that old stuff and that old religion that they had, and He transformed it, and He changed it, and He made it into something new, something better, something that was taste-worthy. Amen. Amen. Right. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, He's able to do that for me and you today. I mean, look, He took that old water of the ceremonial law, made it a new wine of the grace that is brought by the Messiah. I want you to notice about this production. First of all, I want you to notice Jesus, when He does something, He makes plenty of it. What did He do? Well, I'm telling you, there were six of these water pots, and that's over probably 120 gallons of juice, of whatever He's made, 120 gallons of wine. He's made that. Can you imagine that? There is 100, that's pretty good. That'll take care of a pretty good crowd. Amen? I mean, here they are in this particular occasion. They're out, but they know. Can I tell you, when Jesus does something, He does it, and He does it in a plenteous way. Jesus isn't stingy, but thank God, isn't He generous? Amen? Hey, the Bible tells us that His mercies are new to us every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. He said, the psalmist said, the mercies of the Lord endureth forever. Can I tell you, when you got up this morning, God had some new mercies and grace set out for you. God, and you know what? Lord willing, we get up tomorrow, He'll have some new ones then. God's not stingy about His giving. Amen. You remember what He did for the people of Israel? They were out in the wilderness. They were griping and groaning and complaining, sounding like a Baptist. Somebody say amen right there. They got up and said, well, we don't have anything to eat. What we got? Moan and groan, right? You know what He did? He supplied them with manna every morning. Where'd that come from? It came from Him. Jesus said it was the bread that came from heaven. Jesus said of Himself, I am that bread that comes from heaven. He said, your fathers ate the manna and they died. He said, if they eat this, He said, you'll live forever. Can I tell you, God supplied their needs every day. Every day for 40 years. You know what He said through Moses? Moses said, you've been out here wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and your shoes hadn't been wore out. Amen? Hey, can you imagine that? That you have been taken care of. And can I tell you, my wife was talking to somebody yesterday, and she said, well, I'm kind of like David when David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Amen? Amen? God does what He does, and He does it in a plenteous fashion. Aren't you glad He gives, and He gives, and He gives more? Amen? You can't outgive Him because, hey, well, the psalmist said this. He said that He owned the cattle of 1,000 hills. And one old crazy preacher said, yeah, and He owns all the taters under the hill. Amen? I'm just telling you, God is generous in his giving. He's plenteous. I mean, he said, you fill those water pots and we're going to do something good with them. Amen. But not only that, listen, his production is plenteous. His production is perfect. You see this? He gave the absolute best that there was. That guy that drank it said, hey, usually people give the best at the first, and then, you ever done that? You ever ate something, and the first part of it was good? I mean, it's almost, hey, I drink that first cup of coffee in the morning, and then, but I'm going to tell you, the rest of the day, there ain't nothing like it. That first one is the best. Those first few sips, woo, and then it kind of goes downhill from there, right? Amen. It's almost, I don't know if little Debbie's fit in that category or not, but they might. They might. I mean, you eat enough of them, you're like, ain't no good no more. Just wait till tomorrow. They'll get better, okay? But I'm just telling you, hey, he said, you've saved the best for life. When Jesus gives something, it's perfect. It is, you gotta realize, man, it's perfection. He said, you have saved the best till last. Can I tell you? The Lord saved the best till last for me and you. He saved us from our sin. He gave us the best life that you're ever going to have when you get in Christ Jesus. You are saved. You are His. You are sealed. You are ready for heaven. You're one of His. Woo! I don't know what else you could want. Amen. Amen. I don't know what else you could want. But do you see the production that Jesus gives? If you have the production, if you have the presence of Jesus and you get to see that power that Jesus has, then the product that He gives is something of perfection. When Jesus comes in our presence and Jesus shows His power, then anything He makes is perfection. And I'm looking at a lot of folks this morning, because Christ has changed your life. You're standing perfect today. Amen? I know all of you are going to, you're going to get that little card and you're going to write in it and talk about your mama. My mama is the best mama. I want you to think that. I want you to know that. But can I tell you how your mother can be the best mama? It's when she knows who Jesus is. When she has Christ Jesus in her life. When Christ Jesus shows up in her life. And she begins to understand what that love is all about. Amen? And then, man, there's perfection. There's perfection. As I said, I'm looking at a lot of perfect folks this morning. Jesus always gives His very best. Now, some folks didn't realize where that came from. But there was a few that did. Those servants all knew. And the disciples all know. You see what it says there in the very last verse where it said, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee manifest forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. When He does some of the things that He does, it helps deepen our faith and our connection to Him. Has He done something for you? I mean, sometimes it's just little old things. We'll have people come in and we take prayer requests, and we talk about prayer on Wednesday nights. We, you know, get names, and a lot of times people say, preacher, I got a praise. And they'll give a praise. And sometimes it may seem like some simple little old thing. But can I tell you, the Lord's done it for them. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. He's worthy of all our praise. I don't know what He's done for you today. I don't know how He's worked in your life. I don't know what kind of perfection that he's pushing you toward. But I'm glad to report to you today, if you'll just let Him be part of your life, oh my, the blessings that there are, the glories that are there. Let me just tell you, in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 103, verse 7, the Bible said, He made known His ways unto Moses and His acts unto the children of Israel. When God begins to make these things known, when you begin to know them, woo, then you can certainly enjoy being a child of His. Amen. Mamas, let me tell you, you need Jesus today. You need Jesus to bring those children up. You need Jesus to help you in every aspect and area of your life. You need Jesus today. I don't care how little they are or how big they are. Hey, you need Jesus to help you in all of these areas of your life. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of some song this morning. Maybe you're here and you may not even be one of the mothers. You may be a child. You may just be here by yourself. I don't know. But if the Lord's speaking to your heart today, oh, aren't you glad Mama knew some things? Mama knew. I guarantee you, all of you folks in here today could tell us some things that your mother taught you. And you know what? There's a lot of mothers in here hadn't been to Bible college, don't have any letters or degree behind their name. Buddy, they've been in the kneeling place with Jesus, and the Lord showed them some things. They've been in the fire with the Lord, and He showed them some things. And it's worked a great act of a miracle in your life and in my life by the things that they taught us. Sometimes some of you are probably sitting here, oh, my mom and my dad dumb as a rock. Yeah, whatever. They'll get better as you get older, trust me. Amen. You start having kids young, they really get smart in a hurry, don't they? Well, let me just tell you, hey, Jesus is needed in every aspect of every life here this morning. Let's stand, if you would. What are we going to sing, Brother Ronnie?
Page 357.
Page 357.